Hi, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to our webinar with our new brand. And as you can see, the nice new green color that we have behind us today. My name is Maria. I will be your host for today. And on the agenda, we're here to talk about how to move from an informed decision about your whistleblowing tool to a successful implementation. Today, I have with me Kirsty Stevens. Very excited to be joined by Kirsty. She's the head of legal risk and compliance at LRQA. And for those of you who don't know, LRQA is a leading global assurance company that helps organizations in their journey towards a safer, more secure, and more sustainable future. Welcome, Kirsty.
Thanks for having me, Marie.
Kirsty, I think that you agree when we say that a speak-up culture can stand or fall based on how easy it is for people to raise concerns and the support that your organization will offer towards the whole journey. We're very excited to have you here with us today to hear more about your journey on the topic and how you decided to move from your previous solution to a more digital solution when it comes to whistleblowing. But first, I will like to share a few practical information with you all. The webinar is going to last from 35 to 40 minutes. It is an interactive session, like always, so feel free to ask questions. There will also be some polling questions for you to fill in, so please engage with us. We want to have your thoughts on the topic. As always, the webinar will be recorded and you'll be receiving a link after via email that you can share. You can watch at your own comfort. Ready?
Ready.
Okay, let's get started. So first things first, before we dive into our discussion, could you maybe share some information about LRQA and your role in the company?
Yeah, no, sure. Thanks for having me again, Maria. So LRQA, as you say, is a leading assurance partner. We have approximately 8,000 colleagues located in 160 countries, and we service around 61,000 clients a year. Our portfolio of services focus on helping clients navigate this new era of risk that we find ourselves in, really focused on assessment, advisory, inspection services, and cybersecurity, all of which interlink and are underpinned by our expertise on the ground and also our data-driven approach. In terms of my role is an internally facing role. So I'm part of the legal risk and compliance team, and together with my colleagues, for the last 12 months, I've been really focused on developing and implementing a new One LRQA group approach to our ethics and compliance program. And part of that has been looking at our whistleblowing and speak up facilities.
160 countries. Wow, that's robust.
Definitely global.
So I was wondering, you know, because what made you decide that, you know, we need to move away from what we currently have in place for our employees to a different solution?
Yeah, sure. So LRQA is made up of, was made up as a group made up of different parts of different companies. One part of our company did have an existing whistleblowing facility using that more traditional call center model. And then other parts of the business didn't have anything. So we took the opportunity when we wanted to develop a one LRQA global approach to assess whether or not it made sense to extend the existing model, because we had experienced some challenges, particularly around language barriers and also connectivity accessibility issues in some of the countries that we operate in. And also, you know, see what else is out there in the market.
And you mentioned implementing a global unified solution. So that's how you found SpeakUp. I was wondering if you could share a little bit more information, like the pain points that people would have to face in using your previous solution.
Yeah, sure. So we found in some jurisdictions in some countries that reliable telephonic connectivity was a real challenge. Now, some of that is outside of everybody's control. You know, what the infrastructure exists in that country will have a big part. But, you know, obviously that first interaction and that first connection with a reporter is super important in building that connection and making them feel comfortable with the speak up process. And so we wanted to explore other options, particularly because having a one approach for LRQA is really important. Mm-hmm. You know, it shouldn't matter where you're calling from or where you're trying to speak up from. We want everyone to have access to the same resources in a way that is comfortable to them. And that's why language was such a big criteria for us. Having a solution that enabled us to have, you know, as seamless as possible language capabilities to really make sure that communication and that dialogue is swift, and also, you know, as I say, it means that we can reassure reporters throughout the process and hopefully enable them to have a good experience.
Yeah, I really like the fact that you mentioned, you know, we want everyone to be able to have the same access, the same experience, because of course, it's sort of a given. We all think you want everyone to have the same tools and options, but it's so hard to do, right? Yeah. What does a global speak up culture look for LRQA in this case?
Yeah, so I mean, if we go to the sort of helicopter view, you know, we're committed to building a culture where colleagues feel empowered to speak up, and that could be about a new idea or a new way of doing business, as well as, you know, if they have a concern or if they spot or suspect inappropriate behavior, with the confidence that they know that when they do speak up, they will be listened to and action is taken. And so that's we want that for everybody. In terms of how we then develop that, that's really about us making sure that we've got the right channels that enable colleagues to speak up, recognizing the different cultural challenges that come into play from, you know, operating in that, as I say, 160 countries.
Yeah, I guess adaptability in this case, it's quite important. 160 countries, that's quite a lot. And that's even more languages, in fact.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you could share a little bit more information on your experience with implementing Speak Up at LRQA. And what were some of the challenges you faced in getting your tool up and running? And at the same time, I would like to invite our audience to participate by answering to the same question.
Yeah, sure. So I think selecting the right tool is super important. Mm-hmm. But in a way, that's also almost the easy part. There's an awful lot of work that I think you need to do behind the scenes to get yourself ready to launch a tool such as Speak Up. So making sure that we're developing the right policies and procedures that support it, you know, the right guidance materials so that colleagues know when and how to speak up. We've got the infrastructure behind it. So when someone does speak up, we know what we're going to do with it. Again, so we've got that good experience for the reporters. And then also communicating about it, raising awareness, particularly for the parts of the organization that hadn't had access to the tool before.
I'm looking at the results of the poll in question, and it looks like the biggest challenge is finding the right governance structure. And the second opportunity would be to actually encourage employees to speak up.
Yeah. And so for me, before we launched the tool, making sure that we did have that policy and the process, both to give confidence to reporters so that they knew what would happen once they'd reported a concern, and that we knew as well what we were going to do with it. Things always pop up, but we've got an idea.
And what about Speak Up, the tool itself? How easy was it for you to, or hard, to set up?
Yeah, the setup of the tool was really easy. And also I loved how much I could do myself, and so that how much I could tailor it to the questions that I wanted to have, the data fields that we wanted that matched with our organization. So the setup was easy. As I say, the bit that took more time was having everything else ready so that we could launch this in a way that was impactful to colleagues.
Of course, a lot of work goes on behind getting it out there, right? It's one thing to buy a solution, and it's a completely different thing to get it up and running and to be successful with it. How did you spread the word correct me if I'm wrong, but you have an multiple channels. You're using Speak Up for different groups of people. So could you share a little bit more about how you communicate about the tool to those groups of people?
Yeah, sure. So we started by embedding the Speak Up as part of our code of ethics, revised code of ethics, as we launched at the same time. And then we took a multi-layered approach. So for our colleagues, we did some communications from our CEO around Speak Up. We launched the policy. We created an internal SharePoint page, which contains some FAQs on Speak Up with details how to access the tool as well as our other channels, because the tool is great, but we also want colleagues to feel comfortable to have those conversations and raise concerns in, you know, direct to people as well, if they feel comfortable to do so. We developed posters off the back of our policy and procedure. And then we had sort of more regular informal communications through our sort of Yammer channels and informal communication tools. For our external audience, so for our suppliers, we included reference to it in our business partner code of conduct that was launched at the same time. And also on LRQA.com, we have an external page which details how you can access the tool. Again, making, you know, sure that colleagues, both internally and externally, our other stakeholders, have the details and know how to access it and then what will happen when they do access it. So partnered very closely with our internal communications team and external communications team with that activity.
Yeah, this is definitely a team effort, and the whole organization needs to be on board. So I was wondering, what was your experience with getting some buy-in from management when it comes to launching your program?
Yeah, so I was really lucky. Our executive committee were fully on board with this this element of the ethics and compliance program and the whole program itself. I have, in previous organizations, had bigger challenges when it comes to getting that buy-in, but it's super important because, as we know, tone at the top and mood in the middle is super critical for success, and particularly for the speak up elements of your ethics and compliance program. You know, if you haven't got those leaders shadowing the right behaviors, then that's really going to impact your speak up culture. So my advice for those that are struggling with it is be persistent. Make sure that you're explaining the value that this can have. Often people will get nervous around the anonymity, so making sure that colleagues know that this is not to replace any speak up channels. This is merely to complement. This is to enhance our culture, not to take away from anything that already exists. And use storytelling. You know, speak to other colleagues, speak to other companies that have implemented these types of things. But for me, as I say, LRQA integrity is one of our values. It really sits at the heart. So I had an easy ride on that in that way.
I really like the fact that you mentioned anonymity, because it's a very interesting topic. It's always, it seems to create, like, to divide people, because a lot of people are for anonymity and they embrace it fully. But there's lots of organizations that sometimes might be a little bit more hesitant, because there's always a fear, what if people start misusing the tool protected by anonymity? And that is exactly what you said. That's always our response, because it's, anonymity is there to help you initiate the discussion. It's there as proof, sort of security layer, let's say, that, you know, we do mean that we're going to protect you if you speak up. We don't need to know who you are. All we need is the information. So it's always very interesting to hear that, you know, no, it's part of the culture. It's just another element. It's not the enemy, let's say.
Yeah, I think it can make people nervous. As I say, I think they jump to that, oh, well, it's going to get misused and going to lead to, you know, inappropriate things being raised. But for me, as I say, if it enables people to speak up that didn't feel comfortable speaking up before, then that's great. I mean, it will always be easier to have a conversation with someone, to really understand what their concern is. And so even when someone comes through our channel anonymously, obviously being able to communicate with them enables you to ask further questions. Yes. And it may be that they, once you've involved them in the process, you know, it's often that they will then say, actually, you know what, I will speak to you about this, or they will reveal their identity. There are some concerns that if it relates personally to them, if they don't tell me who they are, then there's not a lot I can do. So it's nuanced, you know, but it's about looking at every particular report on its own merit and, you know, deciding, well, actually, we can investigate this. We don't need to know who the reporter is.
Yes. And I was wondering what, What were the first results that you started seeing once you implemented SpeakUp? You know, you moved from your previous solution to a different approach, let's say, to whistleblowing. What was your first experience with it?
Yeah, so we've been live now for around six, seven months. And I'm pleased to say that we've been getting reports in. And that was kind of my first measure of success. Colleagues have been inquisitive about the solution. In fact, we had some reports where people were sort of testing the water. Tell me a little bit more about what this solution is. What's going to happen if I did raise a concern through this channel? So for me, when you're launching something new, particularly, as I say, in parts of the organization that have never had this type of facility before, they've never had that sort of ability to raise things sort of confidentially and anonymously should they wish to do so. I think engagement, you know, it means that our awareness raising has worked. And that's what we've really been focused on.
I saw that we got a question in the chat from Denisa, which kind of relates to this, and I think might have touched upon it a little bit, but Denisa wants to know, how do we proceed with the anonymous reports, especially if the reporter does not respond on the portal and their first report doesn't provide sufficient information for you to proceed?
Yeah, I mean, I think all compliance officers have had reports like this. And I sometimes refer to them as the mic drop reports. So a reporter raises a concern, doesn't give you a lot of information, and then just disappears like that. That's them done. And that's within their gift to do so, if that's how they wish to proceed. It's really difficult. I don't have a magic answer. I think all we can do is take a look at the report, see if they've given you enough to make some initial inquiries, continue to push for questions via the portal, see if you can get something out of them, see if they're willing to speak to you. But if not, you know, equally, you have to be honest with the reporter and say, unfortunately, you've not provided me with enough information. And so on that basis, there's nothing else we can do. If you can provide me with some more, then we'll happily look into this again. It's really difficult. But one thing I would say is that the communication channel through SpeakUp, I think having that swift language translation capability, the machine learning built in, and also the email notifications that reporters can sign up to should they wish and still keep their anonymity, has definitely meant that we've had a lot more follow-up on reports than I have seen with other tools.
Yeah, indeed, technology now allows us to be more direct communication with the reporter, right? Especially with the app, the mobile app that people can use now, you can just activate notifications. It almost feels like a WhatsApp like conversation. Exactly. You get pinged once there's a response on your case. You don't even need to save your case number or something to memorize anything, and you remain fully anonymous from start to end. So really glad to hear that has indeed helped you improve the check back.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we've noticed sort of anecdotally rather than having the data behind it. But it's something that I think the fact that when you log a report as well, you don't have like a long list of questions, because again, that can be another barrier to entry. I think that free flow text box does feel like a WhatsApp message. And I think that familiarity, again, is really helpful for reporters.
And when it comes to, you know, because you do have a global audience that you need to reach. And what you mentioned earlier, some metrics, there's always a discussion, how many reports are good enough? I'm not getting any reports. Does that mean I'm doing a great job? Do we have the best culture? Or is it the other way around? No one dares to even use the anonymous tool. I was wondering, what kind of metrics do you think are most useful for global case management? And at the same time, the question can also go out to our viewers.
Yeah, so metrics is I think almost a bit of a controversial topic, almost like anonymity in in the ethics and compliance space. I think trying to find metrics that truly measure improvements and change and measures that matter is challenging, because a variety of concerns can come through a whistleblowing hotline, and that can lead to very different types of investigations. And so like you, I can make an argument that says lots of reports is good or bad, and then no reports is good or bad. So for me, I think tracking the basics is important. Data is helpful. And so understanding where you're getting reports, the types of reports you're getting, looking at that follow-up rate, looking at your substantiation rate, super important data. And I think it can be used to feed a conversation or to be interlinked with other data sets so that you can truly get a picture. I think it's a little dangerous to say, I've had lots of reports from this place, we must have an issue. Mm-hmm. It may be that actually they've just really resonated with the communications that we've put out there. And vice versa, if you have a location or part of the business that you see no reports from, I mean, it makes me inquisitive. It makes me want to go and have a conversation with the people in that business, maybe look at the employee engagement surveys for their. Mm-hmm. Are they speaking up in other ways? Do they have a really active dialogue with their management? You know, I think, as I say, for me, the data is important. It's a conversation starter, but it's too easy to place all the reliance on it. Same with investigation length. As I say, some investigations will be more complex than others. And so it would be wrong to sort of penalize a team if, you know, it took 3 or 4 weeks to get the right information out of the reporter to then mm-hmm. have quite a complicated investigation that maybe might last 2 or 3 months. That might have been right in that particular case, and vice versa in another case, pretty straightforward issue could be wrapped up in a week. You know, it's all very different. And so you have to sort of take a nuanced approach.
And it might also be that you use, like, people will use the tool for different reasons, right? Yeah. So it doesn't, a message comes in, doesn't necessarily mean that that is an indicator of things going wrong or something. Have people in your experience used the tool to, for example, ask questions?
Yeah, so I've definitely seen people use the tool to ask questions, both in my current organization and in previous organizations. Mm-hmm. And again, that's sometimes because they just don't know where else to ask the question, particularly mm-hmm. in large organizations. And so, you know, we want people to speak up, particularly when you're embedding a new tool. You know, you will sometimes get reports where you go, oh gosh, why did they raise that through this tool? They should have just gone to person X. But they spoke up, and that's the thing that I take away from it. You know, we encourage people to speak up, and then we can educate them as we embed it further down the line to which is the most appropriate tool.
I see another interesting message from Susan. Thank you, Susan, who says that I like the emphasis on speak up as complementary and enhancing, not to replace existing channels. But Susan thinks that it would be easier to have a single portal where all reports could brought in together from all the channels, anonymous by default, but which at the same time allows the reporter to share, reveal their identity if they're comfortable to do so. What are your thoughts on?
Yes, yeah, so I think, you know, if you did have all the data in one place, then that's brilliant, right? You can really analyze that data. You can spot those trends. I think the challenge becomes the want of the data versus the bureaucracy of having it. So mm-hmm. I'm an employee and I go to my line manager with a concern. Maybe I'm having a conflict with a team member. They're able to resolve that informally. Mm-hmm. Does that line manager remember to log it in the portal every single time? What did we really want to achieve out of that? Well, the ultimate aim was that the issue was resolved. The employee that reported it felt listened to and heard. Mm-hmm. If the data's not in the background, you know, the right thing has happened. So I'm for it. But I think there's that balance between how do we, you know, where we focus our efforts. If we want everything to be logged and tracked, that's really difficult practically, particularly in a global organization.
Which is possible, spread, by the way.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah. But so yeah. It can be completely, the tool and the technology is there and available. I suppose the practical implementation of that can be a real challenge.
Yeah, and I like the fact that as Susan mentioned, you know, it's anonymous by default, but people can provide, like, yeah. to share who they are. Eventually, they can always do that. Even within SpeakUp, they can decide to say in their message, "This is who I am. I know it will help you solve the case faster. This is my name. You can contact me at this and this number."
Yeah, and we're definitely seeing that. So even though, as you say, with the SpeakUp tool, anonymity is by default because you, you're not required or asked to provide your name. But we either see people in their first message to us providing with us with their name and contact details, or equally, as we've gone into that conversation and started that communication with them, then feeling more comfortable in the process to then say, actually, you know what, I am comfortable to have a conversation with you outside of communicating via the platform. And again, that can really help. Make sure you understand the issue. Again, if they're raising something that's quite complicated or it's related to them personally, I think anything you can do to make that individual feel comfortable to speak to you is really important, because then you can make sure that the investigation truly gets to the heart of what their issue is.
Yeah, and I really like that you mentioned earlier, you know, the right thing is done anyways, even if it was via the tool or without the tool, that's the goal, right?
Yeah, because that's what's going to change the culture over time. Because
exactly.
Positive experiences speaking up then lead to, you know,
exactly, because
being comfortable.
It's a good reminder to you know, be aware the tool is there to enhance your culture. It's not there to replace it. So I was wondering that now that you've implemented Speak Up and you've had some experience with it, how do you handle incoming messages?
Yeah, sure. So cases are handled on a case by case basis because you never quite know what it is that you're going to get through the hotline. So they come into the legal risk and compliance team, and it's typically myself or another colleague that will review the reports first, and we will effectively triage them. We will take a look at the information that they've provided to us, try and work out which part of the business it relates to, what's the nature of the concern. That's where we might ask for follow-up information, you know, maybe post some initial questions, just so that we can really decide what the right thing is to do. We'll then decide if there is enough information there to warrant an investigation straight away, then we'll look to identify someone appropriate to investigate it. LRQA, like many of the organisations that I've worked at in the past, doesn't have a team of investigators on hand. And so you are typically looking for the right subject matter expert within the organisation that is independent from the issue that's being raised, but also has the necessary expertise to look into the concern. And so sometimes that will be a member of the legal risk and compliance team that does the investigation, but not always, because they're not always the appropriate team to do so. So it might be reaching out to our technical quality and governance team, to our health and safety team, to our people team, to really make sure that the right subject matter expert is looking at the concern. But whenever we do hand it over to another party to investigate, the legal risk and compliance team will maintain that communication with the reporter, will maintain that oversight. So again, to provide confidence to the reporter that we're still involved, you know, we're still looking at it. We will see the findings. We'll make sure that that issue has been fully investigated to the extent possible based on the information provided. And then we'll have that closeout communication with the reporter, obviously having to balance that tension between wanting to share information with the reporter versus the confidential nature of the process and also any personal data considerations where they've raised a concern about another individual. So you will always get an initial acknowledgement and you will always get a follow-up from a member of the legal risk and compliance team.
Because you are present in 160 countries, right? So do you, from what I understand, then all reports come to the same place and then you decide what happens?
Yeah, so the way we're administering it at the moment is we take that centralized approach. So they all come into the same team and then at that point we triage them out to the relevant region or function to investigate.
And in your experience so far, have you been able to, what we were discussing earlier, if let's say, because you mentioned, you know, we decide what's needed, what's necessary, what can we do next. Have you been successful at, you know, collecting additional information from reporters to conduct your investigations from start to end?
Yeah, really successful. And as I say, I think that's one of the features that I particularly like about Speak Up is that we seem to be getting really good engagement. So being able to post quickly and then in a language that matches the language that the reporter has chosen to speak up via, I think enables us to get swift responses. I think, you know, the risk of time delays can mean that, you know, reporters can switch off or do that mic drop moment. So I think swift communication initially is really important to get that extra information. But yeah, we've definitely seen success.
That's really good to hear. We're always happy to hear that, you know, Speak Up is offering you what you need to be successful with your employees and your culture. I was wondering a little bit about the data that you're able to, you know, look into within Speak Up, because more specifically, I was wondering about the sort of oversight that it provides to you, because again, you're present in so many different countries that I think having a unified, you know, oversight of everything that's happening within the tool can be quite useful.
Yeah, it's really helpful from my perspective. So one of the criterias for selecting our provider and going with Speak Up was the reporting capability, mm-hmm. And particularly the ability to build that into Power BIs that already exist, so we can try and triangulate other data sets. We're still new on our journey, though. We've been implemented for and live for about 6 months now. So for me, this is all about gathering that first year's worth of data. And then as we move into mm-hmm. 2024, that's when, you know, further analysis can be done. And as I say, we can then start to dig into some of the data points. But, you know, tracking some very basic information in terms of number of reports, where those reports are coming from, both geographies and business unit teams, the types of issues that are being raised is our sort of starter for 10.
And connecting to what we were mentioning earlier, because Speak Up is there to enhance your culture, right? Complement it. Yeah. What are some other metrics that you use internally to, evaluate whether you're doing a good job on your company culture?
Yeah, so again, LRQA is at an early stage in that regard, but metrics that I've used in the past or metrics that can be used in the future, you know, definitely looking at our employee engagement survey figures, looking at our safety incidents, looking at trying to triangulate other data, because culture is many things. Speak Up is part of it, but it's not the answer. It's not the complete answer to everything. So looking at both quantitative and qualitative data, and really seeing the maturity of the program develop as we, you know, you launch something, it needs a bit of time to embed it. And mm-hmm. then from that, you can then look to, you know, move into optimizing and improving. So I think there's lots of data sets that really can enhance the data that you get from Speak Up as well.
Yes. Very nice. So, we have the same question for our audience in the poll to know a little bit more about how do you measure your Speak Up culture. I think the responses have just started coming in. I do like the fact that we provided the number of reports to person of trust as an option, because that, again, it's like, the alternative to Speak Up, but what you eventually want people to do first, right?
Yeah.
To raise their concerns directly to you, to their line manager.
Yeah, because conversations are really rich and nuanced. And ultimately, if a colleague is having an issue, we want to have swift resolution. And sometimes that can be informal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need a lengthy and complex investigation. Simply, a line manager or a peer or another colleague supporting and facilitating a conversation can sometimes be enough to resolve a concern before it then snowballs into something mm-hmm. else. And so with Speak Up, the tool, as you say, it complements our other channels. We never want to discourage actual conversations, just like we're having today.
Yeah. Very nice. And I was wondering about that because, within Speak Up, you have like the free format discussion that we were discussing earlier. So people can just share their concerns, but you can eventually, if you want, add a few questions. What is your approach on that? Have you tried creating maybe mandatory questions?
So far we're sticking with the free format. Mm-hmm. I think I'm interested to explore the questions up front, but having used that with a previous tool, there's advantages and disadvantages. Yeah. I think provided that it still feels accessible to colleagues, then there's no objection to the questions. And I think, again, as it matures and colleagues get used to it, then I think we can reassess whether or not it would be helpful to put a couple of initial gating questions. But again, we've tried to provide as much information as possible to the reporters around what their role is in Speak Up, because we all have a role to play. We need them to share as much information with us as possible. And then we do need them to engage with us and follow up if we do have questions. And so really trying to raise awareness of that, I think, helps regardless of whether or not you put questions at the front or stick with the free format.
And just as a last question, out of curiosity, at this point, I would also like to invite our participants to send in any questions they might have. But as a last question for me, I was wondering if, you know, what is the approach around the tool from employees. So like if you hear, let's say, a group of colleagues talking about Speak Up, I don't know, in the cafeteria or something, somewhere very informal between them, have you come across, like, what is their perception of the program? How do they feel about it?
Yeah, I think it's new for parts of the business. And so I think it's perhaps been approached with some skepticism and some curiosity in places. I think in the parts of the business that have had a previous tool, I think they've very much approached it and taken it to it as the new solution. So I think, as you say, we're at that stage of raising awareness. And so I'm just keen to get people talking about the tool. I like the questions. I don't mind people saying, well, is it truly anonymous? You know, what happens? I think it's about, in that early stages, it's really about building that dialogue and also making it normal to talk about Speak Up. You know, building this into the company culture is super important.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear, because I'm always curious. You know, we know the tool, we speak a lot about the tool, but what does the actual end user feel about the tool, right? I have another message from Susan that came in. In the NHS in the UK, the annual national staff survey yields a score of the health of the organization's Speak Up culture that is based on answers to questions relating to how safe the staff feels about speaking up to raise a concern and how confident they feel that the concern will be addressed.
Yeah, I think that's great. And it's definitely something that I've seen in the past in terms of incorporating that into, you know, different employee engagement surveys or pulse surveys around Speak Up. And again, I think that what I like about those questions is it's not focused on the tool or the channel. It's about the Speak Up. So again, it's not necessarily the method, but it's the fact that colleagues feel heard and they feel able to speak up. And then, you know, the biggest thing is for an organization is, yeah, you get all these people to speak up, but are you prepared to listen and take action?
I think we're reaching the end of our webinar. I think we're running out of time. So what I would like is, of course, first and foremost, thank you, Kirsty, for being here, for flying all the way to Amsterdam for the first time to join us for this webinar. And to talk to us a little bit more about your experience from transitioning from a different solution to Speak Up and how that is working out for you. I would also like to thank all of the participants for joining us today, for all the questions, the comments that came in. And as always, we're very curious to hear more about what you thought of the content. So please help us improve by filling out a short survey that will appear right after this window. And as promised in the beginning, you will be receiving a link with the on-demand version to our webinar. And for now, I want to thank all of you and wish you a very nice day. Bye.
Thanks.